Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright, so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Oh,
evening, folks, and welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live. This is Dr. Ventura. I'm glad that you could join me this evening. I want to praise the Lord and thank God for this ministry and for your prayers and for your kindness and for all the emails and the telephone calls. And my goodness, you know, God is just a wonderful God. I mean, he's a blessed God. And I've been away for some time. I had an emergency run to Florida, and Brother Raymond Bassett came on. And, you know, what a great brother that I have, a brother I can call on. And Lewis Brackett, another great, wonderful brother that, you know, I could call on a drop of a hat and say, brother, I'm in trouble. I need help. Can you cover my program? Can you pray about it and ask God what he give you to give to our listening audience? And brethren are there. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in fellowship with brothers that you can trust and love. And amen. Thank God that we have such brethren in the world. And I know there's a lot of hypocrisy going on in churches, and there's a lot of cold churches. And you know, we planted this church down here in Imperial Beach a little over a year ago now. And we've just been chartered since June. But the truth is that God's blessed us. You know, the first sermon that I taught was the love of God, the love of God. And if our church, I told our congregation that if our church ever, ever became cold, like some of these other churches I've been to, that there's just no love between the brethren. And if our church ever got that way, I would nail the door shut and go home. Amen? Praise God. Hey, we serve a mighty God. I want to welcome the listeners around the world, those people from Korea, South Korea. I hope you're staying nice and warm there. And people from all over the country of the United States of America, Canada, South America, and all those who listen in, I want to thank you. And if you're new tonight, I hope that we can teach you something, or as they say down south in southern United States, we'll get you some learning. Amen? I love my southern brothers. We were down in Orangeburg, South Carolina a couple of years ago, one of the most memorable and gracious times that I had. Brother Hill was there. Nathan, who's our engineer out here, he's our switchboard man and our engineer and another man you can trust and know he's there, and a man of God, a heart for God. And amen. You know, we were at his church and down there, and we had a wonderful time. And I'll tell you what, it's good to travel the country, but there's nothing like home, of course. But, you know, wherever the brethren are, that is our home, isn't it? Amen. Let's have a prayer, and then we'll get into some kind of a sermon here. We'll talk a little bit tonight. I have a little preaching I want to do. I believe I have somebody who's going to call in around 6:30, and wonderful people, and I want to give them a chance to talk about what they do for a living and the kind of work they do. And if you're in home improvement, you know, one night I want to do a show. I just went through a horrible time, a bad experience in my life and you know, my wife's life, and our home had a sewer backup. And a former plumber broke the tool in one of the main risers and didn't tell anybody, and he cracked the riser trying to pull it out, and a year later that all backed up into the house. And, you know, it's a good-sized home, and we've been out living in hotels for the last 3-4 months since October. And we had our Thanksgiving at the in-laws' house, and our Christmas season, the holiday season, we spent, you know, in a hotel. And it was a very, very trying time. And if you've never dealt with contractors and insurance companies and mortgage companies and city inspectors, and my goodness, I'll tell you, my brethren, you know what? You better have God on your side, amen, because you're going to need some wisdom if you've never gone through that before. But God's taught me some things, and I'm grateful, and I want to thank you specifically, my congregation that God has allowed me to shepherd. I want to thank them, and I want to thank you around the world, the people who have prayed for us constantly and consistently. And you know, behind every cloud is a silver lining, and here's a testimony. And the people were saying to me, you know, Pastor, we don't know how you're handling all this that's going on, but you sure are handling it like a Christian. And I said, well, it's the grace of God. But the truth is, I know that God blessed me in all this, and the way he blessed me was, When the addition was built on this home back in the 80s, somebody put a staple through the Romex wiring, and it had been in the wall shorting out. Every time somebody turned the switch on, the wire would short out, and it was charring one of the 2x4s in the wall. And if we had not had, the wire had become so fragile that if we did not have this sewer flood that destroyed the bottom of that house, we probably would have not found that until the house burned down. And so that's how serious it was. So there is a blessing in that thing, and I keep that in mind. Okay, God, I know you're blessing me. So amen, and thank you for your prayers. Let's bow our heads. I know we're separated here. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, to fill me with your Spirit, Lord, above and beyond, that I can lend out, that this cup runneth over, God, into the souls and the minds and the spirits of those out there, Lord, that are listening, that you would touch this listening audience with your power. Lord, let them be the light bulb, and I'll be the wire, and you be the electricity, and let's light them up tonight for Jesus Christ, your Son, Lord. And we thank you for Calvary. We thank you for all the wonderful things you've done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles over to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. John 15, 1 to 6. That's what we're going to read. That's going to be the text in our sermon for this evening is called The True Vine. The True Vine. Amen? The True Vine. So the scripture says in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. Hey, the word of God will clean you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Did you hear that? Without me, ye can do nothing. Stop saying God only helps those that help themselves. You better get to God first. Then you get some help. Amen? We serve a mighty God. Without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. Right. We have a great God. Said in verse 5, I am the vine. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire. They are burned. Hey, a dead branch, what do you do with it? Burn it. Firewood. Amen? Well, same thing with a dead soul. Hasn't received Jesus Christ. Where does it end up? In hell. Burned up. You know, a seed, my brethren, which is planted, contains life and its certain characteristics. It grows into a plant which produces fruit of the same nature and character as the life in the seed that was planted. The seed of an orange tree, if you plant it, it produces another orange and another orange tree, which is its characteristic fruit. The seed of a cherry tree that is planted, it'll produce another tree which bears cherries. That's fruit. So too, in the Christian life, in our life as Christians, fruit bearing is a reproduction of the life and characteristics of Jesus Christ in the believer's life. Amen? Fruit bearing is more of what one is than what one does. It's being something for God rather than doing something for God. Did you get that? Think about it. I said, fruit bearing is more of what one is than what one does. Bearing fruit for God has to do with character, excuse me, and Christ likeness rather than service. Now, Jesus Christ, the true vine, which the believer is to abide in, reproduces himself in those who dwell in communion with him. So, what about this fruit? We're talking about the true vine. What about this fruit? The Apostle Paul, a man acquainted with much trouble through persecution, had this to say. He said, the fruit God is seeking in the Christian be conformed to his image, to the image of his son. Now listen, if you come to Bible study tonight, to this Sound Doctrine program, this KJV only program, then you know what? You should have a Bible with you. Now open your Bibles up with me, please. I mean, how do we, so many people I see go to church without a Bible. How could you go to church and not know what the preacher's saying? Suppose the preacher lied to you. How would you know? Not that he would do it intentionally, I would hope. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed, see it, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Amen. How about that? The firstborn among many brethren. So, fruit producing. The fruit God seeks in your Christian life is that you, as a Christian, be conformed to the image of his son. Too many of us are trying to make God in our image. We're to be in the image of his son. And when Christ is seen in your life and my life, that, my friend, is fruit to the glory of God. Amen. Excuse me. A little tickle there in my throat. So when Christ is seen in your lives, well, fruit is being made. It's being created. You are glorifying God. Amen? Paul said that Christ be formed in you. So let's, you and I tonight, let's just examine what it truly means to have the image of Christ formed in you. One thing it means is that the characteristics of Jesus Christ's life will be reflected in your life. Christ is the true vine, for he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How about that? Without me, ye can do nothing. John 15:5. Hey, who planted the holy vine? Isaiah tells us about 713 years before the vine was planted, Isaiah said, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:10. In John 15:1, Jesus Christ told you, Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Some of you don't even know what a husbandman is. A husbandman is a farmer. So it's God who has planted Jesus Christ, the true vine. Moses said he is the rock. His word is perfect. Amen? Hey, God didn't plant anything that's wrong. His work is perfect. God's work is perfect. God doesn't make any mistakes. He planted a true vine, a perfect vine. And that is why Jesus Christ is the true vine, the perfect vine. And a perfect vine must produce perfect fruit. Or else, Jesus Christ said, men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Hallelujah. Hey, praise Jesus. And I told you before, fruit bearing is more of what one is than what one does. In our text, Jesus Christ told you, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So you say, hey, preacher, how do I abide in the vine and produce fruit? Now, I'm glad you asked that question tonight. The Apostle Peter has the answer. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, all right, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Thank God our God's not slack. Woo. So the first thing you need to do to abide in the true vine is get saved. Jesus Christ said, for without me ye can do nothing. John 15:5. And you say, well, I got that part right, preacher. Now what? Hey, I'm glad you asked. I got an answer for that too, believe it or not. Excuse me. Now, the truth of the matter is this. The first thing a man needs to do is realize he's a sinner. And that he cannot earn his way to heaven. Because if you could earn your way to heaven, why would God have sent Jesus Christ? You cannot earn your way to heaven. I meet people all the time Saturday we go out soul winning sometimes down on the pier in this beach community, and we meet people that are tourists and people that are local people, and sometimes we get in conversations, and I say, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you could get to heaven? And they say, oh, yeah, I've been a good person. Well, how good have you been? And how do you know when you've been good enough? And how do I know I've been good as you? Who knows? What's good? Well, I give money. I open doors for old ladies. I help people around the house. I give when I can. I've never been arrested for a crime. Cut it out. Listen, nobody goes to hell for being arrested for a crime. Nobody goes to hell for not giving money. Nobody goes to hell for being a mean-spirited person before they come to know Jesus Christ. You go to hell because you didn't receive the only atonement for your sin. And then I say to them, well, let's see how you measure up to God's standard. And they say, all right. I said, you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Must have seen the movie. They say, oh, yeah, Charlton Heston. I said, okay. Not that the movie's doctrinally correct, but in the book, in the Bible, Exodus 20, I ask them, have you ever stolen anything? Well, I said, come on, you ever take a paperclip from work? Pencil? Pen? Didn't belong to you? Yeah. Well, okay, you're a thief, according to the Word of God. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. According to the Word of God, you violated the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Did you ever tell a lie? And if they say no, I say, well, you have now. But you ask them, have you ever told a lie? And they say, yeah. And I say, well, look. Come on, you're guilty. And the penalty of breaking the commandments of God is death. And death is eternal. All that body may hit the grave, but that soul and spirit are going on. And that soul either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. And you know what? You ought to know where you're going. You can't pay for your sins. They're eternal. No amount of good works is going to get anybody to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ came and suffered on the cross. He took the sins of the world upon himself. And so I ask you tonight, are you saved? If you died right now, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? Well, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to give you that chance to make sure. And I'll show you how you can know that you're going to go to heaven. Amen? God doesn't make salvation complicated. But anyway, the first thing you need to do is abide in the true vine. So you get saved. So my Christian brothers out there, you say, well, I got that part right, preacher, now what? Well, hey, I'm glad you asked, now what? Next, here's the next thing. You need to know what the will of God is. You already know the will of God for you. Number one is to get saved. But there are other things which are the will of God. You're to be sanctified. If you're a Christian, you need to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, what does it mean to be sanctified? What it means is to be set apart for God's use. Set apart from what? Sin, the world, the devil. Amen? You're to be separated in your life unto God. I don't know where I got this tickle in my throat. I'm sorry. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Come on, I'm not asking more of you than what's reasonable. This is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Quit acting like the world. Quit dressing like the world. Quit thinking like the world. Then be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do I renew my mind? By the Word of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So God's will is for you to serve him. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's one that nobody likes. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Uh-oh, somebody's got to suffer. Hey, listen, everybody in this world's going to suffer. I'd rather suffer for doing the right things than suffering for doing the wrong things. At least I know if I'm suffering doing the right things in the Lord, God's going to bless me because I did the right things. And if you're not suffering persecution as a Christian, then you're not living right anyway. So cut it out. Don't be shaking your head. Yeah, I agree, Pastor. I agree, Pastor. Yeah, yeah. And you out there doing the same thing the world's doing. You look like the world. You talk like the world. You speak like the world. You smell like the world. You go to the same place the world goes to. My goodness. I don't know what to tell you. Amen. Now, and finally, here's something else. It's God's will for you to be thankful. And you say, well, how can I be thankful? With all these things going on in my life, and what's going on in the world, what's going on in Paris. Hey, listen, the world's been at war since the beginning of time. That Bible's a bloody book. It starts out with a murder. Abel and Cain, you get all the way up to the end, Armageddon. It's a bloody book. And listen, hey, amen, it's the way it is. But God's will for you is to be thankful. You and I, the only opportunity that we have in our lives to change this world is to preach the gospel. You see, it's not a gun problem in America. It's not a knife problem in America. All the gun control laws in the world do not change the heart of man. You cannot legislate morals. You say you disagree with our government. I disagree with anybody who says that gun control is going to stop gun violence. It's a matter of the heart. The law of Jesus Christ is going to stop gun violence. And you preachers that are listening to me, you're not going soul winning. You're not touching your communities. You're not helping change lives. And the only way you can change hearts and minds is to bring people to Jesus Christ. You look around the world today, you get out in that Middle East, and there's Christians out there living hand to mouth, and they know what it means to suffer for Christ. But any place in the world where Jesus Christ does not have primacy, then the problem is there's a bad heart condition. And organizations, terrorist organizations, they have a heart problem. Listen, those people are hell-bent on killing you for an ideology. Where does it tell you as a Christian to go about killing somebody because they don't believe what you believe? Nowhere. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Get out with your life. The town don't want to listen to you. Shake the dust off your feet. Move on. It's a heart problem. And those people would kill you even if they didn't have guns. Even if all they had was sticks or rocks or knives. Look at Israel. Kill the people in the streets, stab them to death. It's a heart problem, my brethren. It's not a gun problem. Couldn't get guns, they'll get clubs. They're going to beat you to death. That's what their heart says to do. Twisted ideology. And you know what the funny thing is? I've yet to hear one single politician yet anywhere in the United States of America or any one preacher say, you know what? This is an attempt of history to repeat itself. Back in the 1300s, Battletores, Ottoman Empire, Saladin, the worldwide caliphate. Come on, we've seen it before. Listen, open your computers. Use it for something other than games. Look up Ottoman Empire. These people in the Middle East are trying to do what history says they couldn't do before. And you know who stopped them? The Christians of the world. Charles Martel, for one. My goodness. It's a heart condition. Where is your heart? When you love with your heart, you don't want to kill something. But we all are going to suffer in this life. But I'd rather suffer for doing what's right than suffer for doing what's wrong. At least in my heart and my spirit and my conscience, I know that I'm suffering I may not deserve to suffer, but I'm suffering for right than wrong. At least I can glorify God in that. Paul said, all who live righteously will suffer persecution. Some of you are afraid to suffer for Christ. Yet you have kneeled down and say, thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross for me. And I know who Jesus is. I go to church every Sunday and praise him and sing songs to him. Listen, he's not asking you, he could, to give your life, but he's not asking you to go out and be crucified. He's asking you to crucify your own flesh. Get the sins out of your life, the lust, the fornication, the murders, the idolatries, the lasciviousness, the worldliness, and focus on Jesus. You and I are sojourners in this world. And what it means is this is not our home. One day we will either die and to be absent from the body, if I'm a Christian and saved, we'll be to present with the Lord. Or one day there will be a rapture, as the Bible promises, and we will be present with the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. Amen? So what I'm trying to say, my brethren, is, wherefore, what Peter said, let them that suffer according to the will of God keep the commitment of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Hey, God, I'm suffering. I'm being picked on. I'm being persecuted because I'm telling people that Jesus lives. I'm knocking on doors. I came to invite you to my church. By the way, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you could go to heaven? I tracked last weekend with members of my church and family. A little three-year-old girl running around on the pier with tracts in her hands. This was your life. And handing them to people. Hey, who's going to refuse a tract from a kid? Some do. For the most part, they didn't. And then we have an 8-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old. And we have adults out there. The children aren't afraid to hand out tracts. They're not concerned if somebody says, no, I don't want to read that, and gives you a bad look. But you're scared. Why? Where is your heart, really? I want to ask you that soul-searching question tonight. Where is your heart? Are you like those that, in the Old Testament, that love the Lord but serve their own gods? What's your God tonight? Is your God money? Is your God real estate? Is your God the car in your driveway? Is your God your alcohol? Is your God your cigarettes? Is your God your family? What do you put before God? Because anything you put before God is an idol. So really, my brethren, what are you hiding in your heart? Why don't you let it go? Why don't you trust God? And finally, my brethren, it's God's will for you to be thankful in all things. In everything, give thanks. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning for you. Well, how do I give thanks? Hey, look, Lord, I broke my leg. The Bible says all things work for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Whatever's happened in your life as a Christian is going to work out to God's glory. You know, Paul said in God's house there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And often students say to me, Pastor, what's that mean? Why would God have a vessel of dishonor in his house and a vessel of honor? I can understand the vessel of honor. Well, I'd like to explain that to you tonight. In God's house are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. A vessel of honor would be a vase, a beautiful vase, or a gorgeous lamp, or a pitcher full of iced tea that you put your iced tea in, all flowers. That's a beautiful thing. You see, that's a vessel unto honor. And then we have vessels unto dishonor in our homes. And you say, what do you mean? Well, you got a toilet. I mean, you could pretty them up and put little flowers around them and, you know, put that little lid covers and all that. But they're still vessels of dishonor. You're going to put it in the middle of your living room and show it off. They're going to put iced tea in it and drink out of it. And so in God's house, whose house we are, in God's house are our vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And it's up to you how you want God to use you. Do you want to be a vessel of dishonor, or do you want to be a vessel of honor? You need to think about that. Where's your heart at tonight? Now, let me recap tonight with you the will of God. Number one, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to be sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. Number three, you need a separated life, a life that is separated from the will of this world. What do you allow your family to watch on TV? I know a lot of people got rid of their televisions. Hey, I like to look at the news. I like to look at some of the history programs. I like to look at things that are not sexually provocative. You need a separated life. Are you dressing like the world? When people see you, when your neighbors meet you and they say, good morning, Mr. So-and-so, or hello, Miss So-and-so, do they see in you Christ? Do they say there's something different about these people that live next door? They dress different, they speak different, they look different, they act different. What's different about them? And they're always happy. Even in bad times, they're praising God. Hey, God, I don't know why I broke my leg, but I know one thing, you're going to work it out. Hey, God, I don't know why my house filled up with sewage. And I don't know why I'm going through all this craziness with all these contractors and all this stuff. But I praise you, God, because I know you've got a greater plan in this thing. And I know the children of Israel walked through the wilderness for 40 years. That 40 years, they were pretty miserable. I mean, hey, look, God got them water. The Bible says their clothes didn't fade. God took care of them, fed them. But for 40 years, they were camping out in that wilderness. And that whole generation that rebelled died. And a whole new generation came about. For 40 years, the people were saying, what's the point in this? Would it have been better if we'd have gone back to Egypt, made some bricks, ate some leeks and onions, and got beat up by the Egyptians to be stuck out in this darn desert? That's what they were thinking. They forgot about everything works to the glory of God. God was doing something in Israel's life. They had to go into the promised land. They couldn't go into the promised land in the condition they were in. In Egypt, they learned about idolatry. In the ways of the world. And Egypt, by the way, is the type of the world. God brought Jesus out of Egypt. God called Joseph's bones out of Egypt. He didn't leave nothing there because it's the type of the world. And so God was doing something in Israel's life. He was getting them prepared for that promised land. But they kept rebelling against it. They rebelled against Moses. The man of God, who made you the boss? You think you know so much. Hey, who was leading them before Moses got there? Nobody. Ungrateful snivelers. I don't know who that pastor thinks he is. He preach like that to us. Blah, blah, blah. I'm talking behind the pastor's back all the time. The deacon's back. That deacon walks around here like he's somebody. Well, he's called a God. He's a minister of God. Those Israelites were being prepared to go into the promised land. And things that you are going through in your life is a preparation for you to go into the promised land. The promised land. And Israel cried about that thing and cried about that thing. And God got rid of that whole sniveling generation. And he raised up a battle-hardened crew. A nation that was battle-hardened. They'd been through the desert. They'd slept in the rain. They'd slept in the cold. They'd slept in the heat. And they knew what it was to depend upon God. And God was preparing them all that time. And you know when they realized it? When they got to the promised land. And they looked back. And they said, you know what? If we didn't spend that time in the wilderness, we would have never been ready to take these people. We'd have been too soft as a nation. Amen. And God's doing things in your life, in my life, and we're kicking and we're crying about it. Oh, God, I got a flat tire. Why? Hey, maybe you need to witness to a tow truck driver. Ever think of that? Amen. You don't witness to them. You give them 20 bucks and see you later. Go to hell, you might as well tell them. Go to hell, see you later. Thanks for helping me with my tire. Here's 20 bucks. Take that to hell with you. How about Mr. Tow Truck Driver? Why are you changing that tire? I want to tell you I'm grateful that you're here, but I really thank God for this flat tire. Why is that? Well, Mr. Tow Truck Driver, I believe nothing happens in this world unless God allows it to happen or he makes it happen. And for whatever reason, I got this flat tire. Now, I don't know if God allowed it or he made it, but there's a reason in it. And I think the reason is God wants me to tell you something about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't discuss politics or religion. I don't want to discuss politics and religion, but could I tell you what God's done in my life? It's a little story I'd like to tell you. But maybe you could interest him in God, what he's done in your life. Amen? Send him away with a tract. Maybe you'll win him to Christ. There's a spiritual side to everything that's going on in your life. In everything, give thanks. Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, my brother's sick and he's in the hospital. He's a Christian and he might die. Oh, Lord. Come on, cut it out. One man said he prayed one time, God, I want you to use me in a mighty way. And they said 2 weeks later he had cancer. He's in the hospital. And he lay in there. And he just having faith in the Lord, but it was getting dim. And he was feeling weak in the faith, but he kept witnessing to women, the nurses, and men nurses, and doctors. And everybody was getting a testimony about this guy. And everybody knew there was a Christian over there. And some people were getting ministered to. Some people were coming back to the Lord who had walked away. They saw the strength in this man and the faith. But he was praying every night, God, I ask you, let me help. Let me do something in your service. God, use me in a mighty way. And here I am. I'm laying in this bed full of cancer. I'm going to die. And he said, finally, God put it on his heart. Son, I am using you in a mighty way. Amen? And so what if you're going to die? Life is not finite. You're so darn worried about this life. You better start worrying about the next life. You're going to be dead a lot longer than you live. You ought to know where you're going. Is your heart right with God? Can you show up to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I did all I could do. Like Noah, 120 years preached the gospel. 8 people heard it. Don't get discouraged, people don't listen. Thousands of people heard Jesus Christ. Hundreds of people heard Jesus Christ. But on a day in that upper room, waiting for the Lord's return, there was only 120. You got a small congregation, God's not caring about numbers. Hey, if God blesses you with big numbers, hallelujah. Minister to the people God's given you to minister. Love your brethren. Live for Jesus, not the world. Stop going to church and comparing yourself to another brother or another sister, the way they dress, the way they act, the way they talk. Who's more spiritual? Who's not? You know what Paul says? That's your immaturity. So let's recap that. The will of God. Hey, listen, I'm trying to give you something that will help you in your life. Something in your Christian life. I'm a preacher. I preach the word. But listen, brethren, I have trouble just like you. I'm a sinner just like you. I have wrong thoughts at times. I say the wrong thing. I might even glory in past sin. But I repent of those things immediately. And I keep that slate clean. I put it under the blood and carry that sin so it keeps separates me from my God and your God. Get saved, number one. Number two, be sanctified. Number three, you're to have a separated life. Number four, you are to serve God. Number five, you are to suffer for God. Amen? And finally, be thankful in all things. You know what that guy should have been saying in that bed, in that hospital? He should have been saying, Lord, I may not understand why you chose this way, but I thank you, God. And I know whether I live or die, I'm saved. And I'm coming home to you. and those that I love around me that are saved, I'll see them again. But it's my time. The old preacher used to say in the military, they told him, son, don't drive your stakes in too far in that tent. We're moving out in the morning. Don't drive your stakes in too far. We're moving out in the morning. Hey, you and I are sojourners. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. We live in America, the land of sudden death. Why, my friend had a daughter, 12 years old, walking downtown Brooklyn, New York. A door in a construction site came off. One of the buildings fell 10 stories and killed her in an instant. You think anybody thought they were going to be off this earth that day? Not at all. People drive up and down these highways in California, 5-6 lanes, 60, 70, 75 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour in Texas, get a blowout off the road in a second underneath a tractor trailer. Life is fragile. Tomorrow is not promised to you and I. Today is the day of salvation, my friends, and if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, you need to have a correct life. You need to get right with God. God's not going to ask you, son, how big was your house? Or, hey, sister, what kind of dress did you wear? Not that you shouldn't dress modestly. God's not going to ask you how much money you had in the bank. God's not going to ask you what kind of lawn you had, what kind of car you drove. You know what God's going to ask you? Did you receive my son as your Lord and Savior? And I hope you be like Noah, because I know what Noah was thinking. He shut that, when God pushed that door on that ark shut, Noah stood there knowing there was only 8 people going to be left in this whole world. And Noah thought to himself, hey, I did all I could. Have you done all you could? Are you producing fruit of the vine? You say, but preacher, now that I know what the will of God is, how do I find out the will of God for my life? So that I may produce that fruit for God. Hey, I'm glad you asked that tonight. Because I want you to know, if you're not doing the first thing, 6 things that I just preached about, hey, you're not going to find God's particular will in your life. You won't produce any fruit. But if you're saved, sanctified, living a separated life, serving God, suffering as a Christian, hey, how do you suffer as a Christian? Well, there's a lot of things in the world that I like. Before I was saved, I like to drink. I like to hang out in the bar, jump up and down some rock and roll music, meet some lascivious women, go out about fornicate, all kinds of that nonsense. Well, how do I suffer as a Christian? Well, all those things that I used to like, I don't do anymore. Well, you say, how's that suffering? Well, I gave them up. They brought joy. Why did I give them up? Because it's the right thing to do for God. Because I want to be holy. I want to be like Jesus. Oh, he loved me so much. He loves you. Jesus loves you. Died for you. Come on. Go through your community and knock on some doors. Say, how many people are willing to die for me tonight? Say that. Christians should be dead to this world. Go down to the morgue. Pull out a tray. Ask one of those guys if they want to come out and party. You know why they want to come out and party? Because they're dead to the world. And that's what you need to be. Stop being part of the world. And you'll produce fruit. Wonderful fruit. Gorgeous fruit. Oranges, apples, peaches. Hallelujah. Beautiful flowers. Your problem is you don't understand your position. You want to be God sometimes. And every time you don't do it God's way, you pull Jesus off that throne and you get up and sit in there yourself. But you think you're God. You've got your nose in people's businesses. You got your tongue talking behind people's backs. Why don't you just love one another? How am I going to know the will of God for my life? Well, I gave you those 6 things. So how are you going to produce that fruit? Well, the Bible says, yeah, all that who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Amen? Being thankful. In order to produce fruit, you'll need to know the will of God for your life. So how? There's 4 ways to find the will of God for your life. Number one, by the word of God. Psalm 119:30 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. The word of God, read your Bible. Well, I read a book. I read. I'm on a schedule, and I read. I read four chapters of the Old Testament, six chapters of the Old Testament, four of the New. I read four of the Old and two of the New. I get through my Bible every 6 months. Did you learn anything? You'll get a prize for running through the Bible. Stop and ask God, what are you saying to me here, God? You're talking to me. It's the Word of God's alive. All right. So number one, by the Word of God. Here you go. You find the will of God for your life by the Word of God, by prayer, by prayer. God, I know what your will is. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. But what about my personal life, God? What would you have me to do? What is it, Lord? Well, you can find out by the Word of God, by prayer. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Psalm 37:5, commit the way, thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hey, listen, if you're going through trials and tribulations, that context of James 1:5 is in suffering. And if you're suffering, you go through a bad time, you need to pray. You need to ask God for some wisdom, how to handle the situation the right way, not the wrong way. So you find out the will of God by prayer. You ask God to help you to do his will. You ask him to help you not to do the things that are not of his will. I've been praying to do right and to be kept from doing wrong, and now I'm going to make a decision and trust that God's directing me. Amen? So you find out the will of God for your life by the Word of God, by prayer, and three, by full surrender. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, man, I'm begging you, I'm asking you, I'm urging you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Christian, by the mercies of God, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, boy or girl, man or woman, old or young, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Amen. Hey, listen, you got children in the world. You see some of the people and women in the filth and the dirty mouths and the filthy songs and the oh, my goodness, I got to cover my ears sometimes. I'm walking through places. Listen to that filth and all that body movement and nudity on television. And they're telling your children that these are their examples for life. Lord have mercy. That's an example of the world. Not of your life. That was a Christian life. You can't find that life in this Bible. That doesn't tell you to live like the world. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're talking about full surrender. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Don't get like Sarah. And Abraham, God promised him a son, Isaac. Sarah couldn't wait around for that to happen. That's how we ended up with Ishmael. You know, we ended up with Ishmael. We ended up with Arabs. Abraham's seed with Hebrews. So how do you figure that? Well, you better read your Bible, my friend. Listen, the land of Israel, the land of Palestine, the Bible says belongs to the Jew. There never was a country called Palestine. It was a land and it was ruled by 25 different kings. And you have to know these things. You know them by reading your Bible. It's not only a history book. It's history of the human race, but it's God's intervention in man's life. trust in the Lord and do good. And finally, hey, listen, Arafat wasn't even an Egyptian, the head of the a Palestinian. He was an Egyptian, the head of the Palestinian Liberation Army. Come on. Your problem is you're content just to have somebody tell you something. You're content to go to church and just believe what everybody says. You're content just to go to work and say, well, I'm tired. I did my thing today. I dealt with all the people I had to deal with. I labored all day. And now, for the rest of the night, it's mine. No, it's God's. And you ought to come home and say, God, what do you want to do the rest of the day? The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, out of the land that I will shew thee. And Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto. You know, Abraham didn't sit around and say, I wonder if I should go. I wonder if God's talking. He knew the voice of God. He understood the voice of God, and he knew the will of God. And if God said to do it, you better do it. That's why in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, it said, thus saith the Lord. Don't eat pork, thus saith the Lord. Don't eat swine, thus saith the Lord. Hey, listen, I know the difference between the Old and New Testament, okay? I know whatever we eat sanctified by the Lord. Well, they were under divine law. And at the end of each command, the Lord said, thus saith the Lord. In other words, I said it, you do it. You was in the military, and they said to you, get on point in the front. And you said, I'm not going. That's treason. It's a command by an officer. It's a command by a higher authority. Amen? That's what I was talking about in the beginning. It's a heart condition. What's in the condition of your heart tonight? Are you in the vine? What's the condition of your heart? Listen, when that cop stands out there in the road and he puts his hand up, the policeman, and the cars stop, it's not because he can hold those cars back. It's because it's the law. And our heart says we obey the law because God said we're to give to the government accordingly. Oh, don't call me up and say, let me not have to pay my taxes. I believe this. I believe, and listen, they came to Jesus with a coin. They said, hey, Jesus, they make them pay taxes. I'm paraphrasing. Jesus said, hey, give to Caesar what's Caesar. Whose picture's on that penny? Caesar. Well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Romans 13. Abraham didn't even stop to think about it. But we do. Huh. We know what God's telling us to do. We're just not willing to do it. We're not willing to surrender to it. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That's what Jesus said. You'll have an entrance into heaven, my brethren. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And you'll have eternal life. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you want to produce eternal fruit in your life, you produce it by being in part of the vine, which is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes into a man's heart, he takes that stony heart away. The Holy Spirit indwells that person. And God manifests Jesus Christ through you. The desires of God flow out of you. The love of God to others. God is love. And God is light, and in him is no darkness. And finally, John said about this eternal life, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, what was the will of God? First of all, you better get saved if you want to abide forever. Tomorrow's not promised, my listening friends that are not saved, my mocking friends that really haven't received Christ but confessed they did. You know what I'm talking about. you need to get a right heart and to get on your knees. And you'll have a ready testimony. But sanctify, set the Lord apart, Scripture says. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That your neighbor is going to think you're strange no matter what. So what? I don't dress like them. I don't talk like them. I don't behave like them. I go to church on Monday, lady class. Wednesday, general Bible study. Friday, whatever services. Sunday morning. Sunday night. Oh, I can't spend all that time in church. But you know, all my time would be in church. I have nothing else in my life. Hey, listen, where else you want to be? Hey, God's asking you to give me 2 hours on Sunday, an hour on Wednesday, ladies' class on Monday, and how about maybe Bible Institute on a Tuesday and a Thursday? God's asking you, can you give me 8 hours? There's 24 hours in a day. You want to multiply 24 times 7 and tell God why you can't give him 8 hours of your time during the week? What do you got to do that's more important? Well, my wife's sneezing. I got to stay home and take care. Get out of here. Sneeze in church. Well, the baby passed gas. Hey, cut that stuff out. Get to church. Listen, teaching will edify you. Not educate you. It'll edify you. It'll exhort you. But preaching will get your heart right. If you don't want to be in church, you got a better place to be. I'd like to know where it is. Now you ought to write that down on a piece of paper and say to the Lord Jesus Christ when you get there, Christian, well, God, I didn't want to be in church because I had to go shopping with my cousin. We were having a birthday party. I couldn't be an hour late. No, sir, Lord, you'll just have to wait for me. I'm going with my family. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Well, how about this, Lord? I'm taking my kids out to the park. I promised them. Why didn't you promise me you could take them out to church? I can't get up that early. You must be a Baptist because they can't get out of bed before 9. That's why we say, hey, forget that. I mean, we don't observe sunrise service anyway, but even if we did, the only one that'd be there were one or two people. So can't get a Baptist out of bed. We're going to have a meeting on Friday. Oh, what do you mean a meeting on Friday? I got to come to Pastor. Listen, I know churches, Lighthouse Baptist Church, have an all-night men's prayer fellowship up there in Lemon Grove, California. White Oak Baptist Church have a men's prayer night. All night the men pray. Oh, they take a break, but then they pray. And they pray. What are they praying for? To pray for the church. Pray for the community. To pray for the people. Pray for salvation. Well, we got to do all that. Hey, what are you doing anyway? Can't give God the time. Well, 3 days a week in church, that's too much. I can't give God 4 hours. God gave you 6 hours on the cross. There's sudden love there and bled to death for your sins. 6, 7, maybe 8 hours of agony. You can't give God 4 hours of your time during the week. Well, I don't want to be in your shoes when we get up there. Oh, hey. Lord, have mercy. I didn't want to be standing next to you. That's 2 months. Cut it out. You know why you don't like me telling you this stuff? Because you know it's true. You ought to be saying, you know what, God, thanks for giving me a man of God who's willing to name sin for sin. Amen. So you get excited, Pastor. Hey, preacher, you get excited. Why did you not get excited about the Word of God? I meet so many people that go to church to hear what the pastor has to say. It goes in one ear and out the other. I mean, they didn't even pray before they got to church. They didn't pray that they have a safe journey, that the other people coming to church would have a safe journey, that the Lord, that the congregation would be blessed, the Holy Spirit would fill the church, preacher would be blessed, hearts would be prepared, and just come to church like it's recreation. Go to some rock and roll Christian rap. What is that garbage? You better not bring that Christian rap up to heaven. The only rap I know is the B-I-B-L-E, and that's the book for me. Christian rap. Drums. The drum beat from the pagan religions. The drum beat. You want to bring the demons into your life? Get them drums going. Come on, you've seen it on the, in the tribal, unsaved pagan lives. Let's get the rock and roll going. And the drums going, and a rhythmic beat to subvert your mind, to sedate your spirit. Go, wake up. That alcohol shop down the street there says, spirit shop. They sell a liquor in the spirit shop. You know why? Because there's a spirit attached to that thing. And buy some spirits, all right. The problem with my brother is you're sleeping. We're running out of time. The Lord's at the door. The signs of Matthew 24 are standing in your face. The shadow of those things are falling heavily upon the world. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the corner. People are dropping off the earth by the millions every day on the way to hell. And you're walking right by them. One man plants, another man waters. God give the increase. You put that little seed in the ground, you don't know how it, what makes it get life. God blesses that little seed, and the life begins to flourish. The word of God is a living seed. It's your word, and you plant it. Paul says one man plants. So what? You went to somebody and you said, listen, I want to tell you about Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. You need to be saved. And he said, I don't care. Hey, the seed's planted. And maybe they'll go through life and they'll have a problem. They'll start thinking about God, and somebody else will come along and say, you know, Jesus loves you. Well, somebody loves me. Yeah, Jesus loves me. Let me tell you about the Lord. And that guy gets saved. See, you planted and another man watered. God's given the increase. We don't save anybody. We're really out there soul warning. Now, I told you, if you're unsaved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you really want to change your life, you're tired of living the worldly way. You're tired of addictions. You're tired of stress. Hey, listen, I'm not telling you come to Jesus Christ, you're not going to have any more problems. But I'm telling you that Jesus said, take your yoke upon me. He's willing to help you. He'll carry you. He'll lead you and love you. You got to repent, my friend. You have to turn away. You have to have a desire in your heart not to live the way you're living. You don't have to go get all cleaned up and shiny and then come into the church. Jesus said, you come to the cross, kneel down and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, come on, pray with me. Pray with me and receive Jesus tonight. Receive Jesus tonight. Tomorrow's not promised, brother. You can't put it off. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, your Son, and I believe that Jesus Christ died and bled on that cross for my sins. I believe it. And he was buried, and he resurrected the third day, and he's sitting at your right hand. And I repent from my sins. I turn from that life I live. It's my desire, it's my will, God, to get away from those things. And I ask Jesus, and I receive him into my heart. I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm gonna trust Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. You know, people say, wow, it's just a prayer. And preachers are going, hey, listen, a lot of preachers are going around telling people, just pray this prayer and you're saved. And those people really haven't repented of their sins. Repentance is part of that request for salvation, that pardon. If a person doesn't repent of their sins, they're really not having a desire or a change of heart. That's what repentance means, to turn away from, to get out of that stuff, to be sorry for what you did, and to move on, to repent. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. The mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you pray that prayer, that's God's promise to you. That you're a saved Christian. That your soul is saved and you won't go to hell. That's just the first step. The next step of obedience, the next act or the first step of obedience in a Christian's life is to get baptized. And that don't mean sprinkled. That's not a baptism. Jesus Christ went down into the water and came out of the water. Amen? You know, sprinkle. But I want you to know that you've begun a new life in Christ. Scripture says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? You're on a new journey, a new life. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. I recommend you find a church that's a Bible-believing King James Bible believer, not New King James. Stay away from those churches that are using corrupt Bibles. Don't even go through the front door. Find yourself a Bible-believing church and get yourself a King James Bible. Authorized version. Make sure it says authorized version in the front. There's a lot of Bibles claiming to be King James that aren't. You get yourself one of those Bibles and you start in the book of John. You start reading the book of John and you pray. You say, God, I've never read the Bible before. I'm going to read it. Talk to me, Lord. Teach me your word. Touch my heart. What's in here for me, Lord, that I need to know? How can I best serve you? And God's got a purpose for your life. Hey, listen, all those things you suffered in your life, you suffered for a reason. And God said that he would restore your life. And God said that he'd make you the head, not the tail. And God said, I'm going to bless you. You don't have to go through life alone. There's somebody that loves you. I've been alone in the world. And I've wept sorrowfully alone. And by God, the hand of God always came forth and touched me on the shoulder. Son, I'm here. The Father I always needed. The only truth I ever knew is in this Bible. The world is full of lies. God doesn't lie, my friend. Start in the book of John. May God bless you. And those of you, my brother, old and young, boy or girl, if you haven't been living life right for the Lord, then I ask you tonight to rededicate your life to serving God. That God would give you baby skin again. Spiritual baby skin. Remember? Remember when you were first saved? And oh, how you loved the Lord and read that Bible. But now you've gotten so far away. But it's okay. God takes you like the prodigal son. Come on home. He's waiting with the fatted calf. Come on home to the Lord. Just pray with me. Father God, I've gotten away from you. And I'm sorry, Lord. It happened. It happened quickly. It happened slowly. I don't even know how it happened. I don't know how I'm standing over here and you're there, God. I've been away from church. I've been away from the Bible. I've been away from you, Lord. I'm coming home. Forgive me, Lord. But I'm coming home. In Jesus' name. Listen, God's waiting for you open arms like the prodigal son. Go back. Go back to the Lord. You have no other place to go. I want to thank the listeners tonight for listening in. Amen. Sound Doctrine Broadcast. Hey, we're going to tell you the way it is in the, biblically. No soft soaking here. I'm not going to pat you on the head and say, oh, you're all such lovely people. Put some money in the box. Amen. Hey, Nathan, you out there, brother? Brother Nathan. I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, for standing by me and all she does. Scott and Angelica, Raymond, Nicole, Jerry, Titi, Rhonda, Dottie, Kathy, Joan. Oh, the people that God's put in my life that pray for me. Thank you all so much. I love you all. And all the listeners, thank you. Thank you for your prayers, because God's doing things. Amen. I just ask you now to pray that they finish up this house and pray for me that this program will continue to bless people and that we'll get the funds and the finances to build that school and Bible Institute, not a college. I don't want to teach college. I want to teach Bible Institute. I want the men prepared, preach. And I ask for your prayers for those things. Brother Nathan, how are you?
Fine.
Brother Nathan, I want to thank you on the air here for all you do behind the scenes here.
All right.
And for the many times that I've called you, kind of, you always have a word of encouragement. You don't put me down, brother. You lift me up. And I love you for it.
I love you for that, too. That's the same.
I know a lot of people in the world are listening, but I want you to know I love Brother Nathan. I love him in Christ. Amen.
That's what. Amen.
I'm going to pray us out of here, and we're going to get on down the road, as they say. We'll catch you here next Thursday night on the Sound Doctrine broadcast. Holy Father, we thank you for your time and the time you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the precious word that you've given us, the truth, and ask you to bless us and help us, Lord, to stay in your will and to remember the things of the way to stay into your will and help us to go to church and read your Bible, Lord. Read your word, God, and help us, Lord, to be better Christians this week and to bring somebody to Jesus Christ that he may sup with him. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Brother Nathan. You just spare on me again behind that switchboard? Hey, Brother Nathan, did we have a caller come in?
No, I didn't see a call.
Huh. You know, sometimes I talk to people and, you know, I tell them, look, I'd like you to come on the program and, I like the work you do and the type of jobs and the style of work you do. I'd like to give you that opportunity to come and tell the people in the listening audience. And I had somebody special who is really an artist and does tiling. And, well, maybe I'll shake him up and see if I can get him on next week. I'd like him to talk about that. And I just want to thank you, Nathan. I'm going to turn this over to you. Good night, listening audience. You've been listening to Sound Doctrine Broadcast. You can reach Dr. Ventura at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. If you need direct line prayer, I'll pray with you anytime, day or night. You can call me. My number is area code 203-240-0377. That's 203-240-0377. If you just received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we'd love to hear from you. Write us a letter, send us an email, give me a call. We'll get some literature out there that'll help you grow and walk in Christ. God bless you. God bless you, Nathan. Have a good night.
God bless you.
relatives here lie.